Hello there, and welcome to my podcast. I'm Connie. I'm a certified nutritionist, personal trainer, busy mom, and I live on a small hobby farm. I'm a former bodybuilder, and I currently have found a love for endurance sports. But I'm not your typical athlete. I believe there are many more contributors to athletic performance and overall health, and that we as a population might be doing it wrong. You won't see me pounding goos or chicken and rice, but you will see me in the pursuit to fuel not only athletic performance, but also balance it with optimal health. This is not just a podcast for athletes. Many people that fall into the health scene get there for a reason. I found myself in suboptimal states at multiple times in my life, and it has really sparked my passion for metabolic and systemic health. I'm constantly a student of what I love, and now I hope to help others by bringing quality guests to the show to share their opinions and resources to hopefully help you formulate strategies to help you crack your health code. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode. I know. Yeah, I did have an episode last week, and I am releasing one early because it was an amazing episode, and I really wanted to get it out to the public before the new year, because I think so much of what Alex has to say is really pertinent to everybody that is going to be kicking off the new year with fitness and health and weight loss resolutions. So I wanted to get this episode out there so that everybody could hear everything she had to say about her recent journey, which is still continuing, by the way, and it is not over yet, but so many amazing things have happened during her journey, and she is here to share it all with you guys. So really awesome episode. I want you guys to know, as far as coaching goes, I understand that not everybody has it in the budget to make it happen, but I want to impact as many people as possible. So I want to let you know that I do have pre-made programs out there to start helping you chip away at your goals. They are affordable. They are accessible. Anybody can do them. And they all start at like $28. They're very, very affordable. So go check that out, ConnieNightingale.com. If you go to programs, you can click on the top button and it will take you to everything that I have available. And I want to be able to help you guys in any way possible. So if you have questions, shoot me a DM, shoot me a message off of my website or an email. I would be happy to chat because I want to see you reach your health and fitness goals. If you want to support this podcast, please go leave it a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Those reviews are so, so helpful to me. If you cannot do that, feel free to click the subscribe button. I am on YouTube under the Fit Farming Food Mom. I am on Spotify. I am on Google Podcasts. I am everywhere. You type in the name of the podcast, the Fit Farming Food Mom, I will pop up. Subscribe everywhere you can. That helps get all of the information that we share out there and to the public so they can start making changes in their life. Another way to support me and my mission is you all know that I am a partner with LMNT. They have amazing electrolytes. I am so fortunate to be a friend of their company and an advocate for them, and they do wonderful things. No sugar in these electrolytes. I take them to my kids' soccer games. I drink them myself. My husband drinks them. We all drink them. They are a much healthier alternative than Gatorade or some of these other sugar-filled electrolyte supplements. And it just makes me feel good to know that I have my family drinking things that are quality. So anyhow, pop on over to drinklmnt.com/Connie. You can get yourself a free sample pack. My personal favorites are the watermelon and the chocolate. There are spicy ones in there as well. They will send you a good package of everything that they have. I'm not a fan of spicy, so I always forward those over to my husband or my friends. Sharing is caring. But I'll let you be the decider of that. Shoot me a message. Let me know which one is your favorite. I want to know. drinklmnt.com/Connie for your free sample pack. Anyhow, we're getting ready to kick off the new year. I know a lot of you have goals, so I hope you find some value in this talk with myself and Alex Smith. All right, Alex, I'm excited to have you on here. I thought it would be fun to bring one of my clients on the show and talk a little bit about your journey, because I think when we think about starting a fitness journey or a health journey or whatever direction you want to go as far as making changes in your life, so many people, it's a really overwhelming thing. And many people have tried other things and they've failed. And so I remember when you first came to me, you were like, I've been working out. I do all these things. I've tried all these diets. I've done everything. And I just don't know what else to do. And so I'm reaching out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about the past and like what you had tried and what you had found with that. And we'll just kind of go from there.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, I know we share a lot in our stories. So I feel like dieting has been a part of my life since I was a kid. Grew up in a household that really valued aesthetics, but not necessarily true health. So there was a lot of pressure to look a certain way, but I had no idea on nutrition. I always did sports growing up, but the pressure was to look a certain way. So I've tried Atkins, I've tried Weight Watchers, I've done paleo, and I've done so many different diets. And it's like I would always lose weight and maintain that for maybe a few months at best. I think only one time a year. And then something always happened, whether it was holidays or a vacation, and my perfectionist mindset would just kick in. And I would just feel like I'm off track. I'm not meant to be a fit person. That's not how I'm built. That's not my fate. It was not healthy.
And so you rode this roller coaster for a while. And I know that was something that you and I had to really work on when we first got started, is that like not everything's perfect. And we're also not trying to achieve a certain look overnight. I think that's one thing that I really preach on hard, is that if you take a long period of time to get where you're going and your body steadily adjusts, then the results last. But I think a lot of society right now, they want to just get that quick fix. They think that they're going to transform in 6 to 8 weeks and they're going to be done with it. And then they end up getting disappointed, first of all, because they do get that perfectionist mentality and they hit it hard 5 to 6 days a week. They diet hard. They do all of the quote unquote right things. And then they get burnt out. They can't handle it anymore. And next thing you know, they end up actually gaining more weight than when they started. Is this something that you feel like you can relate with?
Holy guac. Yes. I was the, what is it called? Yo-yo dieting queen because of that. And as you've seen, I'm very type A. Like I can be super disciplined, but because it was this all or nothing mindset, it's like, if I did one thing wrong, then it was just like, well, hands up in the air and fall back. So it's just, it was, and I'm sure that wasn't, now knowing what I know through you, I'm sure that was not good for my cortisol and all sorts of things, just putting stress on myself.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do remember our onboarding call pretty well. We've been together almost a year, a couple days shy of a year now. And I remember you're like, well, I have PCOS, I have Hashimoto's, I have a lot going on. I have been overweight for a long time. I want to get healthy. I'm to the point now where I don't necessarily care about the weight loss. I just know that I need to get healthy. And I have listened to your podcasts and I think that I want to start with reaching out to you. So we had a great conversation. You ended up hiring me and I was pretty blunt with the fact. I was like, okay, so to start this off, we're going to have to get really serious and it's going to involve some discipline. But I was like, I promise you down the road, things are going to change and it will be, you'll be able to loosen things up a little bit. So we're a year into our journey You are down 30 pounds, which is amazing because it's not just 30 pounds. You're down sizes, like tons of sizes, and everybody notices what you have done and everybody's asking you what you're doing. And we've had some ups and downs through this last year. Everything hasn't been perfect. And I mean, you guys, well, Texas had their big giant snowstorm and nobody had food. There was only like gas station food and hardly even any of that. So that was a swing in things. We've had COVID, you got COVID, you've been on quarantine a couple of times. you had to relocate, you've had relationship statuses change. And so throughout this journey, things have not been perfect, but we definitely discovered some things. And I remember at one point when you were off track for quite some time, we were in contact with each other, but you were like, hey, this is what's going on. And I would just say, hey, do your best. Don't throw in the towel. Just do what you control, the variables you can control. And then we'll get back at it when things change. And I remember I had your check-in scheduled and your progress photos and your weight scheduled. And you told me how terrified you were to step on the scale because you had been off track for a while. And what happened when you stepped on the scale?
Oh man, I'm trying to remember which time you're thinking of, because I feel like I've been a hot mess express. but I know the pattern was I always put on inflammation, but it was always just a few pounds and it always came right back off because we've made long lasting changes. So it was never as scary as I pictured in my head.
I feel like the first time, it was after the snowstorm, but the first time you'd gone for a real long streak where you're like, hey, I haven't been to the gym in a while. And I remember you getting on the scale and you had only gained like 1 pound. And I was like, see, this is why we've been training your metabolism, because you just went out, you had a couple of like get togethers or something too. I think you had some events going on, traveling, all of these crazy things. And you were like, I just can't prep my meals or do this stuff right now. And I'm just doing the best I can. And I remember it was only like a pound or so. And I was like, this is why we've been training your metabolism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and you have helped me. There's so many things that you just said that spark thoughts. Like one of them is the self-talk, that as a trainer, you didn't come to me and be like, well, you're failing. Like you're being lazy. You know, you didn't reinforce what negative self-talk I was having inside. So it helped me not give up or think I'm less of a person or not worthy of this change from not being perfect. And you've helped me become less scared of the scale, that it's literally just a number. We're just like weighing basically some fat content, some muscle, but also what's just like in your bowels and like inflammation at the time. It's just a source of data. It doesn't mean that much of stuff. Like where I'm at right now in weight is where I was at in paleo, but I have way more muscle tone. I'm lower in sizes by a lot.
Yeah. And that's also a great point that you make there is you have mentioned to me multiple times. I get messages, you send me pictures of your outfit and you're like, yo, I'm the same size I was a couple years ago. Only this time I'm like several sizes less, even though I'm the same weight. And that's one thing us women, we don't realize. We get so hard on ourselves with the scale, right? It's a big thing for a lot of my clients and something we have to work with individually with them. For you, what worked really well was weighing yourself every day and realizing that naturally our body just fluctuates. It can be 5 to 10 pounds, depending on inflammation, what you got going on inside you, hydration, all of the things, right? And it fluctuates crazy, but it's really fun to look at your graph in the app because you can see that it, even though there's been ups and downs, it has literally continued to go down over time. And it's really great that there's been a mindset change with that. And I know I talk about that a lot because it's not all about the scale. It's about how you're feeling. There's so many other tangibles to this. Sleep, like you've gotten really into tracking all the things like I have, and heart rate variability. And like, you've noticed that all of a sudden your sleep impacts your weight and all of that kind of stuff as well.
Oh my gosh. It's so, one of my friends was like, how did you get down this rabbit hole? Cause she just heard me talking about like HRV and my Whoop and like cortisol levels and my blood results and all this stuff. And she's known me for a long time. So she's like, what the heck? Like, what was the shift? Because she's someone that also struggles with like body image and health and whatnot. And is trying to get into this like holistic area, which I know can be harder. And like, once we got down this rabbit hole, I was just so excited to learn. I've seen when I am learning this stuff and applying it from sleep to now how I view food about like it being yummy and nutrient dense and how it makes me feel. It's like the most loving I've ever been towards myself. I just love how I feel and how I treat myself. It just feels respectful. And I honor where I'm at in my journey at each step. Like, you've helped me cultivate that mindset. And that's why it's so exciting to keep learning all these different areas, how to just keep feeling better and better and pass that on to my friends and community. Cause it has, like, one of my friends signed up with you and she is so excited every time we talk about it.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that, like your parents, I think it was when they were visiting, you were like, hey, we're all going to the gym together. And those, yes, those are the things that totally melt my heart, is when things wear off like that. I know I have another client. He was morbidly obese and he has lost a bunch of weight. He's become a total gym rat, and it's started spilling over to his family as well, where his kids go to the gym with him now. They all want to lift weights, and we're still working on his wife, but she's getting there. I can tell because of the questions she asks and stuff. So it's really, really wonderful to see how, when you make your own changes, they have kind of a trickle down effect to everybody else around you.
Absolutely. I want to elaborate that and say, because I'm a very social person, so a lot of people that know me have seen not just the physical changes, like people have commented about like my waist and my face, whatever, all these physical things, but they've noticed just my energy, like the light that I'm bringing into the room. And I've always been charismatic, but they can just tell that there's this weight lifted off. I'm so much more playful and out of my head and able to just be present and enjoy, because I'm not sitting there full of shame and low energy and all of these things because of where I was at health-wise, not just aesthetically.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, right off the bat, rather than worrying about the scale and weight loss, we really focused things on your lab work, because I felt like there was a lot of attention that needed, and that would give us some hardcore data as to progress rather than focusing on the scale. Because one thing I've really learned through coaching people long-term now is I've got a couple clients that I'm 2 years in with, a lot that are at 1 year now. I feel like the magic really starts to happen at 1 year. It was like, all of a sudden, all of the things we had been applying, even though they weren't perfect, they added up over time and filled up that health bucket. And then all of a sudden, now that bucket is like giving back to us in so many ways. I mean, it's giving back in weight loss. It's giving back in your skin condition. Like you said, you don't have acne anymore.
I don't even have foundation on today. Like, that is wild. I have never had the kind of skin where I couldn't have foundation without it being super red and broken out. And so that's another thing where I'm like, okay, we're saving money on makeup.
I love that. I recently got a comment the other day. Actually, I've gotten it like a couple times now. I saw a friend in a restaurant and she was like, holy cow, your skin is amazing. And then my hairstylist said the same thing. And I was like, oh, well, thank you. I feel like I'm getting pretty healthy.
I love that.
Oh, that's so funny. But it does manifest in all sorts of things. Actually, your friend that you sent to me, she was during our check-in, she was like, holy smokes, my skin is amazing. She's like, normally when I'm going to start my cycle, I break out like crazy. She's like, I didn't get one single pimple.
Wow. And y'all just started working together. Like, that just says so much about what you put in your body and the way you're taking care of it, and mentally, like how that exudes literally through your skin.
Yeah, we should definitely dive down the mental rabbit hole as well, because I feel like that is the biggest part of my job, is working on the mental aspect of things. It's not even nutrition. It's not even personal training. It's not any of that stuff. It's big time mindset stuff. And trying to reframe your thinking, because we are in this society where the thinking is so flawed, and it's because it's lucrative, and it's really sad. I mean, all of these instant fitness programs and the dieting and the magic pills and all these things, they make money off of your failure. And people don't realize that. Yeah. They're making money off of you failing, and they don't set you up for success. And all of those things are also a huge mental dig when you can't be successful. So I think that these big, high achieving fitness and diet programs are actually setting people up for failure, because when they can't get tangible wins outside of the scale, it makes you start that talk to yourself.
Yeah. That's such a great point. That is what happens and what I used to subscribe to. You're basically being sold either towards your pain or your pleasure. So your hurt and your pain and that mental dissonance of who you want to be and who you are right now, or the instant gratification of a result, but really damaging your body in the meantime. I know you know that from when you were doing like 600 calorie days.
Yeah.
And when we started tracking, I realized like I've had those eating patterns. I had no idea how little I was eating. And now I'm eating the most I ever have. And I'm also the most fit I've ever been, which is awesome. Because I love food.
And you can get like your birthday, you're like, I don't know what to do. Sometimes we have to talk about this. It's okay to have days where you enjoy the heck out of the day and your meals and your friends and the people around you. And you're like, my birthday's coming up. What do you think? Like, and I love being that person you can bounce things off of. Right. And I was like, enjoy it, girl, go get yourself. Now do it right. And I have to disclaim this. I was like, do it right. You can enjoy the heck out of yourself, but get quality foods to do it with. There are plenty of healthy junk foods out there. I'll say that in air quotes. Right. But just trying to do the best rather than going out. Like you're like, I really want to have s'mores. We're having a campfire there and we're doing this. And I was like, so go get the healthiest version you can of those s'mores and enjoy them. Take some of the bad things out, do the best to make it good, and go out and enjoy it and love your birthday or your vacation or your holiday or whatever it may be. Just do your best to do your best and then still enjoy yourself.
Yes. And what I loved about that is like, it's you helping me mentally get out of that all or nothing. So I discovered an awesome grocery store in Austin that had like the alternatives that were gluten-free and whatnot to do the s'mores. And I had a freaking blast on my birthday and it tasted great, because I think taste buds, once you get away from the manufactured food, you're not being fed all the things that get you addicted to those tastes. And so I'm also not like binging and stuffing my face, feeling I have to, like it's my only moment to eat like this, or having the chemicals or whatever in the food causing that reaction. So I got to enjoy, be present, and also still feel awesome because we went dancing that night. So yeah. I got to still feel hot and wonderful on my birthday.
Yeah, I love it. And that's one thing I definitely am a believer in, is when we go off the rails, I see this all or nothing mentality, right? You see women, they're like, I'm starting my diet on Monday. So what do? I just saw this on Instagram the other day. It was a bodybuilder. And I was like, oh my gosh, we're just breeding disordered eating behaviors here. But they were like, oh, I start prep on Monday. So it showed them with a huge like burgers and fries and cakes and just stuff your face fest.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the heck? This is not the Last Supper. That is literally reinforcing that starvation brain behavior that leads to all sorts of disordered eating patterns, binge eating and stuff. And we need to know that anytime we start a quote unquote dieting phase, I will call it that because lack of better words, but dieting today in today's culture is even if you clean up your diet and you want to eat healthier. But if you're starting a dieting phase, getting into that Last Supper mentality is one of the biggest things that throws people off the rails, because then their body is literally craving it because it's almost like they programmed their brain into starvation mode.
Yes. Kind of like the seesaw. Like we're just going to go down here and stuff our face with everything and then expect that we're somehow going to be super clean the next day and we're not going to feel like crap or energy below sugar cravings. Like you're just not thinking about that.
I also resonate with that on the bodybuilding side of things, because back when I used to train, I I was putting in so much work during the week, and then my coach would tell me to have a cheat meal and I would go out and stuff my face. And now I'm like, holy cow, I was erasing. So I could have worked so much less and reasonably dieted and then maintained, like have a small off plan healthy meal and made so much more progress than doing that binge and diet and binge and diet cycle. It was so bad for my metabolism.
Yes. No, totally understand. And I've definitely done that. I think something about this journey with you, I've been thinking about a lot is on my free meals, but I notice, or if I didn't get to meal prep or it's really late, whatever, instead of going to fast food, like I used to go out, I mean, in my early 20s, I was going out a ton, drinking fast food and the community of like eating like crap together, like whatever. Mm-hmm. But now I just go literally to a Target or a grocery store or a Walmart and I get something that sounds good, like chickpea protein pasta. And I made my own like healthy version of mac and cheese one night, for example. And that was awesome. Like it was affordable, it was healthy, and it was still in my macros and I enjoyed it. So just like shifting to how I handle that now versus that crazy, well, all my reasoning is out the door. I'm just going to go to fast food and I'm going to stuff my face.
Absolutely. I totally get all of that. And I try to tell people it doesn't have to be hard or anything magical to prep your food or grab something that's a better alternative from the store rather than jumping into fast food. So that's a really great point that you made with that for sure. Totally too. It's so expensive to eat out now. I always wonder, some people do it like 5, 6, 7 days a week. I'm like, how?
You make it more affordable and it's not.
No, not at all. I kind of want to touch on the alcohol thing. You brought that up back there a little bit. So alcohol can be a really hard thing for a lot of people to give up. It's part of their social life. And I'm not an advocate of saying foods and drinks and things are like off limits necessarily. I mean, unless you have a condition, like you and I are working with Hashimoto's. So there are some things that are off limits because they just are inadvertently going to really tick our systems off. But alcohol is one of those that people really struggle with. And so I have to work with them on that. And you and I have worked together on alcohol, but after a time you started to notice some patterns with alcohol. And I remember at one point you're like, my cycle is horrible this month and I don't know what's going on. And then we started to put together all the puzzle pieces. And what did we figure out?
Yeah, we figured out that drinking, especially with Hashimoto's, was so hard on my body. Like my HRV would tank. Like if anyone has a Whoop or an Oura ring, it would get in like the red and I could feel my resting heart rate instead of being in the 50s, being in the 70s and waking up like that. Terrible sleep quality, just feeling like absolute poop, even if I didn't drink excessively. I've just gotten so much more sensitive to it.
Yeah. And what people don't realize is that alcohol, when we drink alcohol, it is the very first thing that our liver goes to for detoxification. So it stops cleaning up everything else in your body and it takes care of that imminent danger, which happens to be alcohol. Whether it's one drink or 12, it's going to be the first thing that it goes to fix. And most of our hormones and a lot of our hormonal pathways are also detoxified and cleared through the liver. And so if we have a drink, say, even if it's like 3 times a week, our liver is having to spend a majority of its time taking care of those drinks. And you and I have both noticed how much it affects us because we really track our heart rate variability. And we can see it takes a couple of days for that to recover after even having one drink. But what we don't realize is how much it affects our hormones and stuff. So it was really interesting to see that when you were having the occasional drink, your cycles were also more painful. You had acne, bloating, all the things.
Oh my God, the bloating. Cause so I think when all that happened was October, which I am a birthday queen. I love my birthday. all month long. So I have plans every single weekend. I was celebrating with tons of different people. But I was drinking a ton because of that. And so it was like 10 pounds of inflammation. So just feeling that, I'm just not about the scale, just like literally feeling it in my clothes and in my body, feeling heavy. The bloating was terrible in my chest and stomach. I was having acne in a way I haven't really had in our time together. Like once we were healing my body, the cramping, it was just all the things. And it wasn't until we dialed back and you helped me realize that, and I stopped doing that, that my cycle came in 28 days exact, 2 months in a row now. That has not happened for me in years. And not even having all the PMS symptoms that I normally would. So what?
I love that. And it was funny because at first we had, at the same time as all this was going on, we had changed some supplements around and you sent me a message. You're like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I have all some these crazy things happening. And I was like, I just don't get why supplements would cause that. And then we started like, I was like, okay, so what are we doing here? Let's figure this out. And that's when we were like, oh, okay. We've been having some drinks. And it was like the minute that got pulled out of the equation, a bunch of the inflammation and everything went away and it was back to normal.
It wasn't just drinks. It was drinks, Connie. Drinks. going a little too far.
Well, you know, do you find so what's the hardest thing then about the alcohol thing? Cause I feel like a lot of it is just like when you go out, some of it is societal pressure too.
Mm-hmm. I would say, so like a great example, I've told you, I love dancing. I'm here in Texas. I'm a huge like Western dancer. I have no problem saying no to drinks because I'm very charismatic. I will go to somewhere by myself and ask people to dance, be sober the entire night. It doesn't bother me. So for me, it's actually not even the pressure. It's more of like, if there's an occasion or the camaraderie and you're like bonding with your girls or like someone just had a breakup and you're like, let's do a shot. We don't like him. Like
yeah.
It's more of that part, or celebrating occasions like a birthday. It's when it's fused with community and like really positive emotions for me. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I don't go to drinking when I'm in a sad or angry place. It's usually hardest to say no in positive emotions.
Mm-hmm. I get that. I think, so I'll be real curious to try this. I'm not promoting it just yet until I give it a try, but I'll have to send you some because, Ketone Aid actually just sent me their new ketogenic alcohol, which I know this sounds crazy, but, yeah, but it's not got ethanol alcohol in it. So supposedly I got to look into the science a little more on this, but, I hate even saying that because everything says the science these days and I can't stand it, but supposedly your liver detoxes it a little different if it's not ethanol alcohol. And so this particular alcohol, I mean, we'll put all of that benefit to me. The benefit is it's not impacting your liver the way it would, but mm-hmm. also if you're a person that is doing the keto diet, supposedly it won't knock you out because it's not got ethanol alcohol in it. Plus it has exogenous ketones. So you're supposed to get an extra little boost out of that. So I'll be curious to try it because I am a fan of exogenous ketones. I do like being in ketosis myself. I feel like the Incredible Hulk when I'm in ketosis. I'm not in that stage of my life and my journey right now, but I do love it. And so nobody will ever bash on keto around me because I actually have a heavy love for it if done correctly. A lot of people don't do it correctly and it's just another one of those dieting trends, but we actually used it for a period of time with you in order to reset your insulin sensitivity and your hunger signals. And it was a huge part of your journey because when we first got together, you couldn't stop eating. You were hungry all the time. And so I was like, listen, I think we should try to get you in ketosis in order to aid in your hunger signaling. And we actually had your calories quite high. And you were like, this is amazing. I'm not hungry and I'm not craving things.
Yeah, I felt amazing on keto. And I definitely had some friends even notice like that it was I think at first I got a little carried away with dairy. And it's actually weird now to think that I don't even really consume dairy definitely not even on a daily basis, but very rarely. But at the time when we first did keto, it was like every meal and you're like, okay, let's dial back. And then once we did that, it was like, I would rarely get hungry. I just felt so satisfied. I loved my meals. I looked forward to them. And my brain was so sharp. Like, I was killing it at the gym. I was so sharp at work. I think that was literally my biggest success in my work life, was when I was on keto during that time. So I'm all about it. And if anything, you had to help me. Now we've learned, like, I just really respond well to fat. So when we've been not doing keto, you've been helping me, like, still make sure to eat all my calories and get all my macros in.
Right. And then the one thing I definitely want to emphasize with this is, so many people are like, I did keto and then I gained a ton of weight afterwards. And that's because the transition between working with carbs and working with fat has to be made. And so we carefully made a transition between the two and never gained any weight in between. But some people don't use that ketogenic tool correctly. And that's when they start to run into problems. It's and a part of it is that all or nothing mentality. Like, when they start to incorporate carbs back in, sometimes they bring them back in a little bit too fast, and that sets them up for failure.
That makes total sense. So you spoiled me, because we really did such a smooth transition. And I know, if anything, part of it has you helping educate me and emotionally have a better relationship with carbs, to understand, like, their place in a diet and not be scared. Because for majority of my life, like, and I love my dad, but he was like, you're Smith, Alex. If you eat it, you wear it. When we wear it on our thighs, we don't like carbs. Our bodies don't like carbs. So I've been scared of carbs my entire life, even though I enjoy eating them. So usually it was an excess when I did. So when we got off keto, you kind of had to help me regain a better relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great tool for you. It helped your hunger signaling out immensely. We also were able to reset your insulin sensitivity and improve your lab work a lot. So it was a really great thing all around. One thing people have to realize, though, also, if they do try a ketogenic or a high fat, low carbohydrate diet, is that they are not going to improve their insulin sensitivity if they are dealing with a lot of stress, because I see that a lot. I see lots of posts on social media where they're like, okay, go keto, it'll fix your insulin resistance. What they don't realize is there's other things that need to be addressed, such as sleep and stress.
I'm glad you brought that up. That made me think of when I had the levels glucose monitor in my arm. And I would have never, you saying that, I would have never probably believed that wholeheartedly, the way stress impacts insulin sensitivity, unless I had literally had data in real time in my arm to my phone. Because I remember one of my visits to my best friend, like, just being around her, and even though I wasn't eating perfectly, my insulin responses were so, like, calm and even with being off track on food. And some of my meals that were technically healthier, but I was in a super high stress state, would just be poo-poo.
I love that. I remember I still have all of the write-up that you did on all of that. And you were like, it was insane. When I was having a good time and I had no stress and I wasn't at work, my response to foods, even wine, all the things, was so much better than when I was actually doing keto, being careful, and under a ton of stress.
Yeah. The data literally showed us stress was the number one factor above my food choices.
I love it. Well, so is there anything else that you'd bring up to the listeners that you think would be really important as far as embarking on their own health journey? We've got the new year coming up, and it definitely is going to be something that's on everybody's mind.
Oh, absolutely. As always, right? I have so many thoughts. I feel like one of them, because I feel like everyone's going to be thinking about fitness, but if you are, ask yourself why. Like, what is your why? Like, you have to have a deeper why than just like, oh, I want to look good for this vacation coming up, because then you're not going to stick with it. And you're going to do things that put your body in more jeopardy than you should. So knowing your deep why and exploring that, and then understanding too, like, the different stress points in your life, like, how can you put your 2022 goals towards alleviating the stress in your life to be more aligned and joyful? I would say, I mean, money is always on people's minds too. So getting clear on, like, what this will cost them, and just align that in your budget. So that way you're not putting that as a limiting belief. I just can't afford to be healthy. You can't afford not to. And it And I, you know, I work in finance. Like, so at first I was scared about this, but I've afforded living in Austin on my own, paying for you, paying for my supplements, paying my food. And I'm not some baller with some crazy high income, but when you want something, you make it work. And I've been able to still have a social life and a balanced life because of it. I prioritized it. I guess the last thing I would say is to just understand that holistic health is the most, in my opinion, loving thing that you can do for yourself. You can change lives, not just yours, but your family tree and the people around you, just by falling into this rabbit hole and like loving yourself through it.
Oh boy, that's powerful. It melts my heart, brings a tear to my eye.
I'm tearing up, Connie. I'm emotional.
Yeah. I think, yeah. And I mean, your kids and everybody that you need to like show that this journey is possible. These things are doable. And another thing is being realistic with your expectations. We've spent how many years getting obese or overweight? How many years have we spent getting unhealthy? How many years have we spent collecting all of these disorders or things that we might have picked up, thyroid, hypothyroidism? All these things have accumulated over time, and they're not just going to heal overnight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And work on some of that inner mental work, like thinking that you have to look a certain, very specific way to be beautiful or to be worthy. You have to undo some of that. Because I was like, I'm just not a fit person. You've heard me say that when we first started, like, I'm just not meant to look like that. And it's like, once I fell in love with like the actions, not the results, the actions, and doing it consistently, even when I fell, getting back up. Now I'm like, I am a fit person. I'm a person that works out. I'm a person that eats healthy. I don't have to look like an Instagram model for that to be my truth.
I love that. That's so, so awesome. Did you find that when you stopped chasing a certain look, then all of a sudden things started happening? Cause that's kind of how I feel. I stopped trying to look like the bodybuilder and like what people thought I should look like, cause I work out, you know, and all of a sudden then things actually started to happen.
Yes. Cause on our time together, that's when everything started falling off. At my like happiest with doing all this, which has been my safe haven emotionally, just really loving it and enjoying it and learning. That's when weight started popping off and I started seeing muscles. I was like, Connie, I've never had muscles here before. Like, who am I? Okay. And like, had to start buying jeans that were multiple sizes down. Like, that all started happening when I wasn't focusing on the weight part.
I love it. Well, I'm so thankful you came on and shared your journey with everyone. I think it's a really powerful one. I'm hoping to do this more often because these are the things that help people realize they don't have to be miserable in order to make a change. Yes, there will be some challenges in there. You have to adjust. You have to relearn your way of thinking. There's a lot of things involved, but over time, the amount that you get back from it is so amazing.
I totally agree with you. Hire a coach, hire Connie, guys. Like, this is too much to have on your own shoulders. It just makes a difference to have someone that like gives a poop about you and wants to help on the mental part. Like, that, this is way too much to carry on your own. Like, let someone be there for you.
I love that you said that too about the coaching, because how often do we second guess ourselves or talk ourselves out of things? The brain loves to second guess and it loves to talk you out of anything that could be challenging, because in your brain, it's like, oh, this could be dangerous if you're going to challenge yourself. And so it's really hard to mentally push yourself outside of your comfort zone sometimes. And it's really great to have that actual reassuring voice saying, no, you can do this.
Yes. Oh, and we have decision fatigue in our everyday lives, from our jobs, to your family, kids. There's decisions all day long. So when it comes to something that's already not a habit and is scary and foreign to you, and trying to make the right decision because of that perfectionist, that's why a coach takes all that away. And like, this is their job. This is Connie's job. This is what she knows, what she loves. She's going to give you the answer that is best for you and monitor it. So just listen and do it. Like, it takes so much off your plate.
And sometimes it's not the answer you want to hear either.
That is a fact. That's okay.
Well, thank you so much, Alex. I really appreciate you joining us today.
It was an honor, Connie. Thank you so much. This is like a dream to get to do this with you.
Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Alex and gained some insight that could be beneficial with your New Year's goals and how you choose to approach your New Year, New You journey. I know a lot of people, that's one of their main goals for the year, is to get healthier, get in better shape, lose weight. Just make sure you're going about it the right way. And if you need help, reach out to me, ConnieNightingale.com or at ConnieBeGonnie on Instagram. I would love to chat, and I have programs that are affordable for everyone. So if you cannot do custom coaching, I have some pre-made programs that will at least help you get started on your health and fitness journey and not compromise your health in the process. So reach out. I would love to be there for you. Guys, happiest of New Year's to you. I'm thankful to have shared another year with you here, and I hope you have a very prosperous New Year. Talk to you next time.